The Scalpel with Dr. Keith Rose. Cutting down to the truth through history and experience, The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bone's Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, or the website scalpeledge.com. The next episode of The Scalpel starts now.
Take on the intelligence community. They have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
What do you think the intelligence community would do if they were motivated?
I don't know, but from what I am told, they are very upset with how he has treated them and talked about them.
Oh, my goodness. That was Chuck Schumer in January of 2017 on Rachel Maddow's show, talking about President Trump and how the intelligence community is very upset at the way he has been talking about them. This is a United States senator who I would believe understands Title 50 and understands that the intelligence community answers to the executive branch. I would think that the United States senator would understand that a duly elected president in a constitutional republic over the intelligence community could say anything he wants. And they don't really have the right. They shouldn't get, quote, upset. What are they, six-year-old kids? But that's where we are today. We replace facts with feelings. We replace truth, self-evident truth, with irrelevant truth, as the new Democrat Party wants to tell us, because they're trying to impeach our president. Now, this is 2017. President Trump has just taken office. And Rachel Maddow's talking to Chuck Schumer, and Chuck Schumer, not being the sharpest tool in the shed, just let the cat right out of the bag. The intelligence community's upset, and they have six ways to Sunday to get back at you. Did Chuck Schumer know something that we didn't? When I say we, I'm talking about the American people. Because flash forward to where we are today, we have a president that has been, quote, impeached by the House of Representatives. Of course, it was not done by precedent. It was not done by anything that is constitutional. It was done behind closed doors. And ironically enough, it was done by the intelligence committee in the House of Representatives, Adam Schiff. You see, everything is tying back to the intelligence community and the intelligence committee. And I'm a big fan of intelligence. I think a nation has to have sharp, good intelligence and intelligence community to keep it safe. But the problem is, and our founders knew this, if you have people that are unmoored from morality, that don't have principles and virtue, then a constitutional republic isn't going to be worth the paper that the Declaration of Independence was printed on. And that's where we find ourselves today. So now we have a president that has been attacked since before he took the oath of office, and every day since. He's been attacked by the mainstream media. He's been attacked by the Democrats. He's been attacked by a lot of never-Trumper Republicans. But you know what he's also been attacked by? And we're going to talk about this today, the intelligence community. The intelligence community, and I'm not talking about the rank and file. I'm talking about the upper echelon in the Department of Justice and the intelligence community have been pushing a soft coup as fast as they could pedal their little legs to unseat this duly elected president. And I've been just beating my head and wondering why. I mean, if you look at Donald Trump on the surface prior to taking the oath of office, he was more Democrat than Republican, really. I mean, I loved what he said, and I definitely voted for him. But when Donald Trump took office, I think the blood ran cold in a lot of leaders in the intelligence community, some of the leaders in the Department of Justice, pretty much all of President Obama's holdover staff in the NSC and anyone that was on the Obama administration. Because all of a sudden, the person that had entered the most powerful office in the United States of America wasn't one of them. And he actually looked like he was going to try and keep the promises that he made. He wanted to make America great again. He didn't want to tear it asunder. And so what I'm going to talk about briefly today is how the intelligence community is doing what they're doing and why. Why are they attacking this president? Why are we sitting here at an impeachment? And I want you to remember something, because we've talked about this in the past. These folks in the New Democrat Party, and unfortunately a lot at the high levels of the intelligence community, both past and present, are following a Marxist philosophy where you accuse the person of doing what you're doing. I mean, these are good little Marxists. These are good little Alinskyites. They want to isolate, polarize, and attack our president. Now, they're really whining and yelling because he's flipped it on them. He's isolating them. He's polarizing them. He does it with Twitter. He chums the water in Twitter for everyone to see when these chuckleheads rise to the top and take the bait. And we, the American people, are watching in abject disgust at this impeachment hearing. And I think Pat Cipollone pretty much summed it up the other day at the impeachment hearing. And this is what he had to say, and then we're going to move into why this is going on. Cut two.
They violated every past precedent. They violated all forms of due process. Now, they say that's a process argument, and it is, but it's more than that. It's more than that. If you feel confident in your facts, then why do you design a process that completely shuts out the president? Why do you cook up the facts in a basement skiff instead of in the light of day?
Hold just here for a second. Why do you cook up facts in the basement of a skiff? That's a secure compartmentalized information facility instead of the light of day. Why do you cook up those facts where you can control anything that comes in and out of a skiff? Why do you do that? He asks. Well, you do that if you're trying to unseat a duly elected president in a coup and you know what you're doing won't stand the test of the light of day. Those facts that you're saying are true, they won't stand up to cross-examination. They won't stand up to exposure. They won't stand up to truth. So you have to keep things quiet. And Pat Cipollone sees that. Continue.
Why don't you allow the minority to call witnesses, as they've had to do, have had the right to do in all past impeachments? And then they come here and say, by the way, we were fully in charge, so completely in charge that we locked out the president's counsel, denied all rights, denied the minority any witnesses at all. But when we come here, they still don't get witnesses. They want you not only to do their job, but to make the same mistake, the same violation of due process that they did. They said,
that's
well,
what
let's
he
just
wants.
Pick the
That's what he wants. That's what they want. The New Democrat Party wants to come to the Senate chambers and tell them, follow our rules. Now, I pray they don't. I pray Mitch McConnell finds his stones and shuts this down very quickly. Because it doesn't take a Mensa candidate to see that the Democrats have produced nothing of substance, but all just a big pile of bullshit. And that the president's lawyers have really just deconstructed everything the Democrats had to say about our president. We didn't need him to do that, though, because we can actually see what our president's doing. We can see that we have record low unemployment. We can see that he's keeping his promises. He's building the wall. He's addressing national security. And we are safer than we have ever been. He has taken out two of the biggest terrorists the world has ever seen. He's also signed record trade deals, got China to the table, and actually is making America great again. And he's done this with day by day, minute by minute, second by second, complete assault on him, his family, and his administration, both from the Democrat Party, some of the Republicans, and some people that are still inside government that are holdovers from Obama that have no ethics, no morals, no character, and that just want power for power's sake and to undermine this president. So why are they going full stream against this president? I mean, the rest of the country is seeing their paychecks get larger. They're becoming more successful. You're seeing minority communities have reinvestment in them like we've never seen. You're seeing criminal justice reform from this president, all while everyone is attacking him. I can only imagine what it would be like if they weren't, what he would get done. So why are they attacking him? Why are they trying to make him illegitimate? You heard Chuck Schumer in the very beginning. The intelligence community could hurt him six ways to Sunday. Why would a sitting U.S. senator talk about an incoming president and then use the intelligence community as a sword? I think it was foreshadowing, because he definitely foreshadowed this impeachment, because the impeachment was done in the House of Representatives in a skiff by the intelligence committee, using the intelligence community to try and undermine our president, but more importantly, trying to tear our Constitution in half while saying they stand for it, while spitting in the eyes of our founders, while saying they support our founders and are doing what our founders would call for. I think if our founders were here today, they would beat the ever-living dog crap out of the Democrats in Congress and Senate that are talking this way. They would be just incensed and offended more than they could even imagine at the bastardization of what they work so hard to achieve. But it's not just Schumer doing it. You've got Queen Pelosi pushing it. And they understand one thing. They understand after all of this, our president's going to still be there. He's not going to be impeached. But they don't care. They're going to continue to push this narrative. And Nancy Pelosi just yesterday went to the podium and had this to say, cut three.
I'll give it a different try. When this is over, do you think that President Trump will be chastened and understand that he's got a Congress watching him, or will he be emboldened because the Senate will have acquitted him?
Well, he will not be acquitted. You cannot be acquitted if you don't have a trial, and you don't have a trial if you don't have witnesses and documentation and that. I would hope that the senators, if it comes to a tie, or if there's a question of hearing testimony or receiving documents, would leave it up to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Republican appointed, in a Republican majority court. I would think that they would.
There you go. Nancy's going to tell us right now. Well, if he's even acquitted, then just, or if it's a tie, let's leave it up to the Chief Justice, Republican appointed, and a majority Republican court. What Nancy's doing is she's trying to lay the groundwork. And I'll just give you a little intelligence insider information. She's just trying to do an information operation. She's trying to prep the battle space for the IO, the covert action that they've been trying to push on this president. So she's saying, if there's any question, let's just let Chief Justice Roberts make the call. And normally I would say, well, actually normally I wouldn't say that, because this has been a sham from the beginning. Anyone with two functioning neurons can look at this and say, this hasn't been constitutional. This is an illegitimate impeachment inquiry / impeachment / quote Senate trial, and they should just call it and go home and let our president be the duly elected president. I mean, we have elections in less than 10 months. Let the American people decide. Now, Adam Schiff has already gone on the record and say, we cannot leave this up to the electorate. We cannot leave this up to the courts. We have to do this now, because they know what's better for the American people than the actual American people. Just a few representatives from completely blue districts in New York and California want to tell us in the United States, everyone else, what to do. And our president's not only fighting for his presidency, he's fighting for the executive office, the separation of powers, to keep Congress from lording it over an executive branch. So basically, you would just have the power levers in Congress where they can draw up districts and do what they want, control the executive branch, and destroy everything that this country was built on in the name of everything this country was built on. But I think we need to listen to Nancy Pelosi's words very carefully about John Roberts. And then I think we need to listen to Adam Schiff the other day, because I could tie all this together, because Adam Schiff talked about the whistleblower because he doesn't know who he is. And he wanted to make sure everyone knew that. Cut four.
Let me be clear about several things about the whistleblower. First of all, I don't know who the whistleblower is. I haven't met them or communicated with them in any way. The committee staff did not write the complaint or coach the whistleblower what to put in the complaint. The committee staff did not see the complaint before it was submitted to the inspector general.
Okay, there you go. Adam Schiff's going to come out and tell you what he didn't do. He's pretty specific about what he didn't do. So he doesn't know who the whistleblower is, and no one in his staff has ever contacted or knows this whistleblower. So now you have Nancy Pelosi saying, hey, if it's even close, let's just let John Roberts make the decision. And then in the past, you had Adam Schiff saying no one even knows who the whistleblower is, right? How do you tie all this together? Well, take someone like Rand Paul, who just wrote a question that should have been asked to the House managers and the President's counsel by Chief Justice Roberts, because that's how they do the questions. The senators write them out. Chief Justice Roberts reads them out to everyone else. But something happened, and Senator Paul's question wasn't even asked. So Senator Paul immediately walked out of chambers, went in front of the cameras, and wanted to let we the people know what his question was. Cut five.
As you may have noticed, we had something slightly atypical downstairs. I asked a question, and the question was refused. Now, it's been reported that this question's about this or about that, and it's been refused for one reason or another. I can tell you that my question made no reference to any whistleblower or any kind of person, a complainant from a whistleblower. But I will read you the question so it can be made part of the public record. Manager Schiff and counsel for the President, are you aware that House Intelligence Committee staffer Sean Misko has a close relationship with Eric Chiaramella when at the National Security Council together? Are you aware, and how do you respond to reports that Chiaramella and Misko may have worked together to plot the impeaching the President before there were formal House impeachment proceedings? I think this is an important question, one that deserves to be asked. It makes no reference to anybody who may or may not be a whistleblower. The manager Schiff says he has no knowledge. If he has no knowledge, the rest of us can have no knowledge of who the whistleblower is. The President's team says they have no knowledge of who the whistleblower is. I think it was an incorrect finding to not allow a question that makes no reference. It means that anybody ever said might have been a whistleblower could never be discussed in a proceeding. I think it's very important whether or not a group of Democratic activists, part of the Obama-Biden administration, were working together for years looking for an opportunity to impeach the President. With that, I'll take a few questions. Yeah, Sir Paul,
that's pretty okay, so that's a great question. And when Chief Justice of the United States, not the Supreme Court, he's the Chief Justice of the United States, looked at that, the head justice of the Supreme Court, he looked at that, he decided that that question should not be asked. Now, Adam Schiff says he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. President's counsel said they don't know who the whistleblower is. So why has John Roberts decided that we can't ask that question? I mean, Nancy Pelosi said he's appointed by President Bush. He's a Republican, supposedly. But I would tell you that if we watch John Roberts very carefully and look at his career and some of the major decisions he's made some decisions that have been anything less than constitutional or what a Republican would make. And there's a big cloud over John Roberts' head. And the cloud just got darker when he refused Rand Paul's question. But to understand John Roberts, I think we need to look back to 2015. Now, again, I don't deal in conspiracy theory, just identification of a conspiracy. The conspiracy that I'm identifying and have been, and so have several others, is that there is a coup being run against our president. And it's being done with a lot of help from the intelligence community at the highest levels and the Justice Department. And I really just am curious to the fact that no one has gone to the mainstream news and talked about Sean Misko, Eric Ciaramello. I mean, you could look at Abigail Grace. I believe she works for Adam Schiff's Intelligence Committee, too. And all three of those, Abigail Grace, Sean Misko, Eric Ciaramello, Ciaramello, however he pronounces it, they all worked under Ben Rhodes at the NSC, National Security Council. And Eric Ciaramello was finally driven out in 2017 because he was speaking terribly about our president. So that's known that he was speaking bad about our president. That's not in question. And that he's good friends with Sean Misko is not in question, and they work together. And Sean Misko's on Adam Schiff's staff. You can Google that. That's not in question. So this was a fair question for Rand Paul. Yet John Roberts didn't allow it. Does John Roberts, the only person that may know the true identity of the whistleblower? Is that what John Roberts is telling us? I think John Roberts is compromised. And again, not conspiracy, just identification. And we have to go back to 2015. And ironically enough, we go back to 2015 and we go to a courthouse in Arizona. Because there was a judge, Joe Arpaio, the sheriff down in Arizona, who caught a lot of the Obama administration ire, was in a contempt hearing. The Obama administration went after him full throat. And as courthouse news service reports, and this is just a courthouse news service, after invoking the Fifth Amendment 220 times under 5 hours of questioning, Thursday, an investigator for Sheriff Joe Arpaio blurted out an impassioned tale that the sheriff's office investigated the federal judge overseeing Arpaio's contempt of court hearing because the judge was a victim of the federal government's illegal seizure of his bank and IRS records. I'll have this posted in my show notes. You can read it. But what it goes on to say is that the federal judge overseeing Joe Arpaio's trial was compromised. And they went on to talk about him being compromised, and they mentioned a gentleman by the name of Dennis Montgomery. Dennis Montgomery is someone that works in the intelligence community, but more importantly, he worked for, I believe, the NSA. He designed a computer system, or was part of the design team, that allowed massive collection and surveillance to keep America safe. But when the Obama administration came in, they overtook this quote-unquote system and turned it on the American people. So Dennis Montgomery, ironically enough, was a whistleblower. And he was on the news briefly. Then he was off the news. No one wanted to talk about it. No one wanted to talk about this actual Patriot whistleblower when he went forward in August of 2015, and provided the FBI with 47 computer hard drives of illicitly harvested surveillance data on Americans, evidence that the DOJ and FBI simply buried. Among the data stored on the 47 hard drives was evidence that Brennan and Clapper illegally spied on Donald Trump and General Michael Flynn, according to Montgomery's testimony. General Flynn dropped a hint that must have made Brennan Clapper and President Obama and the leaders of the CIA, DOJ, and FBI and the Obama administration break out into a cold sweat, kind of like Rand Paul probably just did then. Because 2 months after Montgomery, under two limited immunity agreements, handed over those computer drives, General Flynn told the New York Times in October 2015, they've lost sight of who they actually work for. They work for the American people. They don't work for the president of the United States. Flynn excoriated the CIA, stating that the agency has become a very political organization. What General Flynn was talking about is that the Obama administration used the tools for intelligence that was supposed to keep us safe and identify bad guys that want to do bad things to this country, foreigners, and turned them on American citizens to keep and maintain power. And I've discussed this many times. And you can see it if you really want to look back during the Obama administration, the reporters that were spied on. People, I remember, Herman Cain running for the Republican ticket way back when. And all of a sudden, all the stuff started coming out about Herman Cain. How could anyone even know this stuff? Well, I guess they'd know it if they could get in your computers, right? And so this started coming out. So let's go back to Arizona and during that trial, because during that trial, there was something called the whistleblower tapes, and they leaked out. And so you had Sheriff Arpaio, his investigator, talking to someone who had met with Montgomery and actually had documented evidence that this was going on. And these tapes are online, and I went back to SoundCloud and pulled them up. And I thought this was really interesting. Cut for it.
It's on Word files.
It's in PDF. Yeah.
You know who that guy is?
Is that PDF?
It's PDF.
You know who that guy is? That's the head of the FISA court they hacked into. Reggie Walton.
Get the hell out of here.
He's the head of the FISA court. And John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, was hacked.
Oh, wait, what? What? John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, the head of the FISA court? This is back in 2015. But everything's coming out now. This is out there. And I'll put some references for you to look at. But Freedom Watch USA, which has also worked with Judicial Watch, they understood about this whistleblower, this Montgomery, Dennis Montgomery. Because it came out on November 17th. Now, when this first came out back in 2015, everyone said, it's a conspiracy theory. Dennis Montgomery, that's not real. And they immediately gagged him. They put a gag order on him and tried to turn his life upside down, that being the government under Obama at the time. But Dennis Montgomery had already put forward information. He had already talked to people. You just heard some people that he had talked to and given information to, because they were looking through that information while they were being recorded. And you can Google it and dig deeper if you want. But it's truth. And then on November 17th, 2016, it was reported in Washington, D.C. on Freedom Watch. This morning, James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, who perjured himself before Congress by testifying under oath that the National Security Agency and other intelligence agencies, such as the Central Intelligence Agency, were not collecting massive amounts of telephonic and internet metadata on hundreds of millions of innocent American citizens, finally resigned his post. Larry Klayman, the founder of both Judicial Watch and now Freedom Watch, issued this statement. There is likely an untold story behind his apparent forced resignation. Notwithstanding that Freedom Watch, our clients and I succeeded in filing suit against the NSA for the unconstitutional Fourth Amendment violations. He went on to talk about the two preliminary injunctions in the last 3 years, the revelations of Edward Snowden, Dennis Montgomery, who was a former NSA CIA contractor, had during this time come forward to FBI Director James Comey and his staff and disclosed that Clapper had been involved in massive illegal spying. You see, they tied Brennan and Clapper to a massive illegal spying. And they said, the investigation by the FBI is ongoing and likely contributed to Clapper's surprise resignation today with the suits brought by Freedom Watch, where D.C. Federal Judge Richard J. Leon found that Clapper's secret massive collection of telephonic metadata on hundreds of Americans violated the Constitution. And it also violated the rulings that Congress put into play in the USA Freedom Act to prevent this from happening at the Patriot Act. And John Brennan was right there with him. You see, they created their own private NSA. They moved it off-site. They moved it to an address that this guy says in this article. And they spied on Americans. And more importantly, they spied on the president. But we don't have to just take Dennis Montgomery's word for it. We don't have to take the gentleman that Dennis Montgomery met with and gave the information that somehow got to Sheriff Arpaio in a private conversation that you just heard talking about maybe John Roberts is compromised. Well, it might make a little sense, seeing that some of John Roberts' rulings have been in question. He won't even let them talk to Eric Ciaramello because no one knows who the whistleblower is, right? Sure. But then you have someone like General Thomas McInerney, who steps out and discusses this. Now, General McInerney, you can look him up, worked inside the intelligence community. He's a very respected leader in this country, or was a very respected leader, and he now works in the private sector. But he shocked everyone when he went on the American Report, Operation Freedom, and talked with the Dr. Dave Janda back on March 19th, 2017. And this is what General McInerney had to say. Now, do you hear this on CNN? Are they calling General McInerney to talk to him? Is MSNBC kicking down his door? I mean, is he on the front page of People magazine? Is he on the front page of, you know, I don't know, Rolling Stone? Someone pointing out the abuses in our intelligence system, spying on Americans? No, because the media is going to stand their Praetorian Guard up against anything that comes against their ideology. But this got out there, and it's there for all the world to see. Cut seven.
It's got 15 minutes ago, and I just sent it to you.
Yeah, I saw it.
And I'll read it.
From General Lyons. Go ahead. I want you to, because yeah. I think this is really, really important, and the lamestream fake media, Tom, will never touch this. Go for it.
They will never go. President Obama's Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, and his Central Intelligence Agency Director, John Brennan, oversaw a secret supercomputer system known as the Hammer, according to former NSA-CIA contractor-turned-whistleblower Dennis Montgomery. Clapper and Brennan were using the supercomputer system to conduct illegal and unconstitutional government data harvesting and wiretapping. The Hammer was installed on federal property in Fort Washington, Maryland, at a complex which some speculate is a secret CIA-NSA operation at a U.S. naval facility. President Trump's allegation that the Obama administration was tapping him is not only supported by Montgomery's whistleblower revelations about Brennan and Clapper's computer system, the Hammer, but also by statements made this week by William Binney, a former NSA technical director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analyst Reporting Group, by former CIA and State Department official Larry Johnson, and by Montgomery's attorney Larry Klayman. The system, the Hammer, according to the audio tapes, accessed the phone calls, emails, and bank accounts of millions of ordinary Americans. One of the ordinary tapes made public by federal judge Murray Snow revealed that Brennan Clapper particularly targeted and wiretapped Donald Trump a zillion times. End of quote.
There it is. Now, that's General McInerney. And he had spoke to Admiral Lyons. And these are two men that have showed integrity. These are two men that have had some of the highest levels of responsibility in our military and in our government. And they were involved at the inception of a lot of this work. It's coming out. After August 19, 2015, when Montgomery handed over those hard drives, he had to give them to the FBI. Now, who was running the FBI in 2015? Oh, I'm sorry, Jim Comey. In late November and early December 2015, senior FBI officials, including Director Comey's right-hand men, Special Agents Walter Giardina and William Barnett, I wonder if those guys were involved in talking to Flynn. I don't know. Debriefed Montgomery while under oath for over 3 hours inside a secret compartmented information facility, a SCIF, you know, kind of like Adam Schiff had when he went after our president, at the FBI's Washington, D.C. field office. They gave Montgomery immunity, but as it later came out, Montgomery felt that Mueller's appointment as special counsel was a huge conflict of interest because he, according to Montgomery, Robert Mueller's FBI provided the computers for super surveillance known as the Hammer. You see, the Hammer was used by Robert Mueller and his guys for surveillance. And so then there was a big deep state smear campaign against Montgomery. They went after him with everything they had, and there's several articles about this, and we'll post them. Because they tried to bring light to this really dark situation here at the American Report. They tried to show people that you had a patriotic whistleblower who talked about the hammer, this mass surveillance that was being used to hammer Americans to an ideology, to a way of thinking, to certain people, and try to destroy free elections. That's what they were using the hammer for. I guess you could say they were just using the hammer to shred the Constitution, to beat on the Bill of Rights, and to break the glass and destroy our Declaration of Independence. But fortunately, an actual whistleblower stepped forward. The Scalpel is sponsored by Z-Bones Headphones. Their flagship product, Z-Bones Bone Conduction Headphones, are unlike any Bluetooth listening device you have ever used. They're really amazing to hear with. Z-Bones Headphones work through bone conduction. The comfortable pads rest next to your ear, not in your ear. The sound is transmitted through the bones to your eardrum. With an open-ear design, nothing is stuck in your ear, which means you maintain situational awareness or environmental awareness by hearing your surroundings. You can still hear the fullness of your music, though, or whatever podcast, hopefully ours, that you're listening to. You can even use Z-Bones while using ear protection at sporting events like races or at the shooting range. Z-Bones Bone Conduction Headphones are a Bluetooth device that work with any iOS or Android phone system or tablet, and they give you 6 hours of call time and 7 days of standby. You can put on a cap and have your Z-Bones on, and you can't even hardly tell you have anything on while you're listening to music. This is a cool headset. It's innovative technology, and I frankly love it. And I'm very happy that they've chosen to sponsor us. So go check them out. Get them at zbones.io. Use the discount code SCALPEL70 for a 10% discount. And be sure to use the Z-Bones when you're listening to the Scalpel podcast. Scalpel, this is Dr. Keith Rose. We're talking about the hammer, that super surveillance system that Dennis Montgomery had developed software for that was being used to spy on Americans. And when Dennis Montgomery became a whistleblower, the deep state that he was blowing the whistle on just co-opted the media to paint a picture of him, kind of like they try to paint a picture of President Trump now as a Russian agent. Because the deep state went after Dennis Montgomery as a scam artist who tried to bilk millions of dollars from the federal government by selling the CIA and other agencies hoax technology that did nothing to protect America. So, you mean that the deep state went after Dennis Montgomery, basically accusing him of something that was just the polar opposite of what he actually did? Yeah. They don't seem to change much. And when they did that, they expose themselves. Because now military sources say that Montgomery's technology worked and saved American lives. And as this article points out in American Report, they say the cabal that had been working feverishly to destroy President Trump is comprised of several of the same bad actors who have worked relentlessly to destroy Dennis Montgomery. You have James Risen, Eric Lichtenbaum, Robert Mueller, who supplied surveillance computers, raided Montgomery's home, and led the Trump-Russian collusion. James Comey buried Montgomery's whistleblower investigation and the 47 hard drives that he turned over, lied to Congress by claiming FBI had no evidence of Obama surveilled Trump, and he opened the Trump-Russia investigation. You have James Baker buried at Montgomery whistleblower investigation. John Brennan established and ran the hammer, which is ironic because John is anything but a hammer. He's a soft marshmallow of an intellectual who's a good little Marxist, but you know. But he ran it as a private parallel platform with Clapper, and according to Montgomery, wiretapped President Trump, claimed President Trump was a Russian agent. You have James Clapper, established and ran the hammer along with Brennan, who said that Trump was, quote, a recruited asset of Vladimir Putin, and they all knew this was false because they were looking at everything President Trump had. And you also had Barack Obama. Clapper told CNN that if it weren't for President Obama, we might not have done the intelligence community assessment that we did that set off a whole sequence of events which we are still unfolding today, notably the special counsel Mueller investigation. Same names. And the actual whistleblower, Dennis Montgomery, they went after him. But as of today, Dennis Montgomery still has his security clearance and is still working. Now, the media went after him. The deep state went after him. But the truth just pushed to the top. Now, they've gagged Dennis Montgomery, but they can't gag history. And that's why we have the whistleblower tapes. And even though they went after Dennis Montgomery, the truth is coming out. So this is where we find ourselves. We find ourselves at a real crossroads in our country's history. And as the moronic senator took to the floor the other day, I don't remember his name, and he tried to compare President Trump to terrorist acts, World War II. Guy was just a blithering idiot. But what we have here is much bigger than all of that. Because our country is not under attack like in World War II. We don't have a threat from an existential force, a fascistic nation state that has risen to come after us and that's trying to march across Europe and then potentially come to our country. We weren't attacked by the Imperial Japanese like we were at Pearl Harbor. No, we have something much bigger happening right now. We have an attack on our founding, on our constitutional republic, and don't kid yourself, that's what it is. It's being done by highly unprincipled men that are unmoored from morality, virtue, and principles, that are tearing our Constitution right in front of us while telling us they're holding it up and supporting it while they feed it into the paper shredder. While they tell us they support the founding and the founders, they're trampling on the graves, the memories, and the deeds of the men that made this country great. And they're doing it with your tax dollars. And if that doesn't piss you off, if that doesn't motivate you, if that doesn't turn something deep inside you, then I would probably put it to you that you don't love this country. Because I do. I want to understand why they're doing it. Now, I could give you a lot of reasons what I think. I could talk about what J.R. Nyquist talks about. The scissor strategy is a method for agent positioning. He wrote this just a few weeks ago on January 13th. And it's basically what the Russians do to infiltrate and turn a government. Now, I know that's kind of deep in the weeds. I know that probably makes you wrap your head with tinfoil and you might go, this guy's a conspiracy theorist. But no, not so much. Because part and parcel, the way the Russians do that is they just use the best point of entry for their strategy is they target folks that are in low government positions or they're just starting out, and then they create events, manipulate events to move them high up into the administration or into the intelligence community or into the military for that fact. And I'm going to post this, and I would suggest you read it, because the Russians have a Soviet strategy that really worked. It worked in Afghanistan in the 80s. They create situations that allow their assets to rise that are going to support what they want them to. I mean, you had John Brennan voted for Gus Hall, the communist, and then John Brennan somehow made it all the way to the director of the Central Intelligence Agency. You have the guy that's not the whistleblower, Eric Caramello, right? Who did a fellowship at Harvard, who went over to Russia and studied, who actually wrote and co-authored papers that talked about how he felt post-Soviet Russia was better off before they were post-Soviet Russia. He liked he liked the communist Russia, and he talked about it very, very openly. You got a lot of questions about Venman in the military, the chow thief. There's just a lot of questions in general and a lot of people that are rising to the top. I imagine there's some questions out there about Andy McCabe. There's definitely some questions about Jim Mueller and what he supports. Go back and look at his early career. You see, the founders knew that this could potentially happen. They knew that there were, quote, Soviet-type countries out there. They didn't have to know they were the Russians. They didn't have to know they were the communists. They didn't have to know they were Iranians or whoever. They knew that there would be factions, other countries, that would use proxies to seek to subvert our government. The problem is we're seeing something happen right before our eyes. And on the surface, at a minimum, you have people unmoored from morality, unmoored from the Constitution, that are trying to remove a duly elected president. And if you want to understand the why, well, just understand power. Understand the hammer. They've got to hammer this president. Because if he gets another term and he digs deeper, there's some people that will be going to prison. There's some people that will be held accountable for their actions. And in the day and age of the participation trophy, I think that Brennan, Comey, Clapper, several members of the Obama administration, and maybe even President Obama himself should be awarded that participation trophy, that trophy for participating in the subversion of our Constitution, our founding, and the destruction of our great nation. I pray that happens. I pray you'll look at some of these notes in the show notes, that you'll dig deeper, that you'll talk to folks, that true whistleblowers like Dennis Montgomery will be listened to and studied. Actual fake whistleblowers that work and colluded, like Eric Caramello, Sean Misko, Abigail Grace, and Adam Schiff, would just be exposed and called to testify. I mean, Judge Ken Starr testified when he ran the case against President Clinton. He was actually called as a witness. So why won't Adam Schiff, if he believes he has an ironclad case, sit on the witness stand? Maybe because he'll be put under oath and he can't lie under oath. Now, Ken Starr was a witness and did it. Why won't Adam Schiff? Why won't Judge Roberts let a question be asked about Eric Caramello? Because no one knows who the whistleblower is. And as Judge Roberts, as Dennis Montgomery pointed out, is he compromised because of the hammer? The only thing that can defeat a hammer is the intestinal fortitude, principles, virtue, morality of the American people as they rise up and speak with one voice and say no more. And it's my prayer that you will, that you'll do it peaceably, you'll do it at the ballot box, you'll do it with phone calls that are respectful, letters and or emails and faxes that are respectful sent to the senators and congressmen. But we have a potential great tragedy unfolding in our nation, bigger than any attack we've ever had. The sleeping giant is awake again. But I pray this sleeping giant, known as freedom, will seize the day. Go out and have a great weekend. Love on your family. Take a break, and most importantly, please keep freedom rolling.
Head high, protest line. Freedom scribbled on your sign. Headline, New York Times. Standing on the edge of a revolution. Hey, hey, just obey. Your secret's safe with the NSA. And God we trust, or the CIA. Standing on the edge of a revolution.
With Dr. Keith Rose. The Scalpel is proudly sponsored by Z-Bones Bone Conducting Headphones. Learn more at zbones.io. Subscribe to The Scalpel wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at The Scalpel Podcast, on Twitter at The Scalpel Edge, or the website scalpeledge.com.